The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus and disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, this man had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So Jesus got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, this sermon is going to be, again, more of a teaching one, but I think you're going to glean something from it. The reason I landed on it being more of a teaching sermon is when I read up on this story, it occurs in three of the Gospels, all of the synoptics. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this story of the Gerasene demoniac comes up. And I've heard the story many times, but I'm not sure how often I've heard it preached on. That got me wondering. I didn't remember preaching on it myself. I did find a couple of sermons back from years ago. But I noticed that there was this healing sort of ring to them. I'm going to look at Shannon because the hymns this week were all suggested on healing. Did you notice? Yeah. And I didn't go in that way, so Shannon didn't really go in that way either, I don't think. And there are beautiful songs, but this doesn't strike me as a healing text, or at least not one that's very accessible. You see, Jesus, after casting out these demons, will go on to heal a hemorrhaging woman and then a 12-year-old girl. And when we look more closely at this particular text, we might see that it's less about healing and more about Jesus as God's authority. So Jesus wielding God's authority, able to calm storms previously and to free people from occupying powers. And Lord knows we need to be freed from some occupying powers in our lives. After Jesus calmed the storm, he and the disciples set sail to the region of Gerasene, where they are confronted by this demon-possessed man that we see in today's text. The man is naked and so overcome by violent convulsions that he cannot be restrained even with chains and leg shackles. He keeps getting away. He is excluded from the city, living among the tombs, which we know is where the dead are. And he shows all the signs that the ancients used to diagnose possession by an unclean spirit. When this man sees Jesus, he recognizes him and demands to know what there is between them. What does Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, have to do with him? Quickly, he moves to begging Jesus not to torture him. We wonder, is this the man talking? Or is it the demons? The man himself may not know where his own identity ends and the possession begins. What is clear, however, is that Jesus will not allow the unclean spirits to keep on tormenting this man. Already, even before the man addressed him, Jesus commanded them to leave. And now Jesus asks the man's name, but it is the demons who reply, "Legion, for we are many." For people in the ancient Roman world, legion had only one literal meaning: a unit of approximately 6,000 Roman soldiers, the occupying army. Suddenly, this exorcism takes on new social and political significance, and Luke's word choices throughout the story invite a closer look. When the man confronts Jesus, Luke uses a verb that he employs elsewhere when armies are meeting in battle. When the demon seizes the man, that's a verb used elsewhere when Christians are arrested and brought to trial in the book of Acts. The words for the hand and foot chains for binding and guarding are the same ones that Luke uses in Acts when the disciples are imprisoned. The language of this whole episode evokes the experience of living under a brutal, occupying power. Furthermore, the region in which this occurs, the region of Gerizim, is the setting of a horrifying historical event. According to Josephus, during the late 60s Common Era, toward the end of the Jewish revolt, the Roman general Vespasian sent soldiers to retake the region. The Romans killed 1,000 young men, imprisoned their families, burned the city, and then attacked villages throughout the region. Many of those buried in those Gerizim tombs had been slaughtered by Roman legions. Now, you might ask yourself, well, what does this have to do with anything? That was after Jesus' time, but I'll remind you that the Gospel of Luke would have been written later than that, probably around 100 years Common Era. When the legion occupying the demoniac enters Jesus, it begs not to be consigned to the abyss. But rather surprisingly, Jesus permits legion to enter this herd of pigs instead, reminding you that Jews regarded pigs as unclean. So this detail is a reminder that Jesus is solidly in Gentile territory. It may well contain a political meaning also. One of the emblems of the Legio Tenth, for these words are just not coming out of my tongue right, Fratensis, used not only on banners but on everyday objects such as coins and bricks, was a pig. I'll let you Google it when you get home. You can look it up, and the banners are actually quite interesting. So the army marches in and they have their flags for their part of the army, and it had a pig on it. Political meaning indeed. They participated in the siege and the destruction of Jerusalem, took the lead in reconquering Palestine, and they were stationed in Jerusalem after the war. For the people of the area, pigs would have seemed a fitting destination for legion. Here, the story takes a darkly humorous turn, for legion, thinking that it has avoided the abyss, promptly charges into the deep and drowns. The pig keepers witness this whole scene and they run to spread the news. Now, it's important here that we might note how much these pigs would have cost. I was going to leave this part out, but then after driving through Wisconsin the other day on the way to that graduation party in a northern rural area north of Green Bay, taking all of those back county roads, I think I must have seen several hundred barns and probably thousands of cows and horses and sheep. And yes, I even saw some pigs. And I thought, how much do those pigs cost? If we trust the numbers of the accompanying story from the Gospel of Mark, there were about 2,000 pigs in that swine herd. Translated to U.S. dollars, anybody have a guess? How many would that be? Any farmers among us? I don't know. Maybe some of you are keeping pigs at home. No? $500,000. And that's a low estimate from what I read. $500,000 careening off a cliff and drowning. One of my colleagues said, couldn't they fish some of them out? Probably not. That's not going to happen. When the people return from the city, the pig herders, they bring people with them from both the city and the countryside, and the liberated man is sitting calmly at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. After hearing how he has been freed, the people do not celebrate the good news. Instead, overwhelming fear holds them captive. Note, it's the verb synecho used in Luke 19 to describe armies, and in Luke 22 of the men guarding Jesus. Freedom is too dangerous, too costly. Though Legion has been expelled from the demoniac, the memory of Legion still controls the community left behind. The Gerizeans beg Jesus to leave them, and Jesus goes away as they have asked, but not before commanding the man to return to the city and explain what God has done for him. The man obeys, spreading far and wide the good news about the mighty work that God is doing in Jesus. From the moment the demoniac first confronts Jesus, the whole episode invites us to consider what Jesus has to do with the forces that occupy and control us. Instead of getting caught up in the details of demon possession, the miraculous, we are invited to wonder over the ways in which Jesus has control over powers that destroy life. Ask yourselves, how many people in our world are haunted by a traumatic past and tortured by memories? How many are homeless or lack clothing or food because of social and economic forces that they cannot overcome no matter how hard they struggle? How many are imprisoned, regarded as barely human, excluded, cast out? How many are enslaved by addictions, no longer knowing where the addiction ends and their own selves begin? Where do the governing authorities separate people from their families, denying them the opportunity to seek better lives? And where do occupying armies still brutalize entire communities and hold them captive to fear? Siblings in Christ, from what do you need to be set free? I imagine we all have an answer to that question, or perhaps several. Jesus comes to challenge and cast out every power that prevents us from living fully and freely as human beings created in God's image. Jesus claims sovereignty not just over our souls, but over our lives here on earth. Many among us resist that news. Finding deliverance from Legion too frightening for ourselves, too demanding, too costly. But those whom Jesus has healed and freed know that God's liberating love is indeed good news, that the gospel that Jesus commands us to proclaim throughout our cities and towns rings true and good. Still today, God is at work in Jesus, bringing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Let us praise God's holy name. Alleluia and amen.